This is a special occasion today. We are going to ordain to the ministry in the morning service this morning one of our dear brothers in the church, James Johnston. We're so thankful that you could be here for this special occasion. Please do pray that we will do those things that please the Lord in the service today. Two passages of Scripture I want you to turn to this morning. First is Acts chapter 13. I expect you are ambidextrous in turning to verses in your Bible, so you can find Acts chapter 13 and then the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Brother Phil was so kind this morning in the adult Sunday school class to introduce the text in 1 Samuel 16. I always enjoy it when preachers don't confer with each other about what is to be preached, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and Acts chapter 13. And this morning, Brother Phil gave us an exemplary, inspiring message that covered some of the verses in 1 Samuel 16. So I'm going to ask you to turn first to Acts 13, because we're interested in God setting men apart to serve Him in spiritual leadership. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That phrase, "they laid their hands on them," describes what we call ordination. Ordaining men to the ministry. Now we recognize that the most important ordination is that of the nail-pierced hands. When the Lord Jesus lays His hand on someone and says, "I want you to go and preach. I want you to go and minister. I want you to be a missionary, an evangelist, a pastor." Someone whose entire life, his full-time life, is given over to ministering the Word of God. We're interested in that this morning. James, several years ago, indicated that they believed, he and Tia believed, that the Lord had impressed upon their hearts that they were to go into full-time ministry, and that it would be, in the Lord's time, it would be in East Timor, serving as missionaries there. And they're blessed in that regard, and we are blessed in that regard. This morning, we're going to lay hands in ordination on Brother James. And you see that given us here in verse 3, when they'd fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. But now, leave that passage and go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is the second of the scenes we will look at, and there are so many in the Bible. Moses at the burning bush. So many examples in Scripture of God saying, "I want you to do this," and the Lord giving them a calling. And so in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 10, the Lord sent Samuel to choose among the sons of Jesse a man to be the king to replace Saul. Then Jesse, no, it's again in verse 10 it is, again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." That's our text. Those words, "Behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, sun-burnt, sun-chapped, sun-colored complexion, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now there's a difference here, isn't there? In Acts chapter 13, the brethren there in the assembly in the church at Antioch laid their hands on Saul and Barnabas. Here, Samuel, the prophet of God, takes a horn of oil and anoints David with oil in the midst of his brethren. There's a little difference there, but there is this common truth that God does set men apart to serve him. So I want to talk to you about that. We try to avoid, preachers try to avoid aiming a sermon at any one particular person in the church. That's wise, isn't it? It's not good to say, Cam, you listen up. Cam, you listen up. Cam, you listen up. Will, pay attention. It's not good to do that. We want to stay away from that. But James, I have to confess, this sermon's for you. All right? James says, lay it on me, brother. All right? I hope that's what you say. All right. Two scenes in the Bible where men were chosen by God to serve him. In Acts chapter 13, God separated two men, Barnabas and Saul, to be missionaries to the Gentiles. Two Jews sent to the Gentiles. In 1 Samuel 16, God separates one man, a young man named David, to be the next king of Israel. But it wasn't only a place of political leadership, national leadership. It was a place of spiritual leadership. In fact, the greatest leadership that David exercised was spiritual leadership. And we find this pattern repeated again and again. God calling and setting apart men to be spiritual leaders of others is something we really ought to get hold of as Christians, as churches. We need to get hold of this and say, God really does do that. There are people, the Lord says, I want you to do this. And we need to encourage people to recognize the call of God. And we need to support men. We need to uphold them and encourage them in the call God has given. So this is what ordination is. It's really the call of God. And when we have a service of ordination, when we lay hands on a brother, all we are doing is recognizing the call of God. We don't impart any spiritual power to a brother. We don't have any fire fall from heaven on Brother James today when we ordain him. We're recognizing God's call and God's empowerment and enablement. Paul wrote to Titus in the first chapter, it says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And then he says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Titus, there is a need for every city, and I'm thinking he's talking about the churches, to have good, godly, qualified spiritual leaders in place. And when you look up the word ordain, you find that it means to place down permanently, to set in place, to appoint, to make, or ordain. Now, the Lord gives us caution in Scripture. And he says to us in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man. Lay hands suddenly on no man. We had a man that attended church here for some time, and he had gone through a spiritual valley. He'd gone through a deep, dark place. And as I sat and talked with him in his home, I said, how did this happen? He said, I walked in the door of the church and they appointed me to be the associate pastor. I said, oh no. He said, they didn't have any idea what I was capable of doing. The workload was too heavy. I couldn't carry it. God had not given me gifts to be able to do what they wanted me to do. And it overwhelmed me. And I said in my heart, lay hands suddenly on no man. There needs to be time for people to grow in the Lord, to be prepared and trained and gain experience. And so there are cautions that are given us in the Word of God. So when we see David here in chapter 16, anointed to be the next king of Israel, there's a very true sense in which the Lord was appointing him to be a shepherd of a nation. He was already a shepherd of sheep. God called him to be a shepherd of his people, a shepherd of his nation. We don't have time to go here, but I want to call it to your attention. Did you know that the Lord says in his word, 400 years after David died, that when the Lord Jesus rules over all the nations, the Lord's returning, he's coming back, and one day he's going to rule the world in righteousness. There will be no peace until the Prince of Peace sits on the throne of David. But when the Lord Jesus comes back, he has a place of leadership for David, the Old Testament saint, the Old Testament king. I want to read it to you. It's Ezekiel chapter 34. And the Lord says in verse 23, "And I will set up one shepherd over them," talking about over Israel, "and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Did you know David, one day, under the rulership of Christ, in a resurrected body, is going to have a place of leadership, of shepherding Israel in the kingdom, in the thousand-year reign of Christ? I look at that and I marvel. I say, is this an indication when the Lord says, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him? Is this the Lord saying, this is what I'm going to do with my people when he reigns on earth? Well, I want you to think with me just for a moment this morning about the shepherd and his preparation. The man who is chosen by God to be a pastor or a shepherd. This is much of what Brother James will need to do in East Timor. No matter what we do in the ministry, there's a great deal of shepherding that has to be done. A pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd is a pastor. You may not know that those words mean the same thing. So a shepherd must learn how to lead, or how to feed and to lead God's people. So much to learn in that regard. And first of all, three very simple things. A shepherd has to be a sheep. It only has to be a sheep first, but he has to be a found sheep. Now that's a simple term, isn't it? A found sheep. He must be saved before he can save others. And we don't do any saving of others, do we? But we have to be saved before we can rescue others from an eternity without Christ. Matthew 9 and verse 36, the Lord describes the children of Israel, and in fact he does this a number of times in Scripture. He uses this phrase, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad." And here's the phrase, "as sheep having no shepherd." Our world of mankind, the Lord says, is like a flock of sheep that have no shepherd, and they're scattered everywhere. They're scattered everywhere. Lost sheep. Isaiah repeats that another way when he says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Now, I'm not in favor of modifying God's word, but it would be true if someone said, "All we like sheep have gone astray," because our nation is a nation of lost sheep, wandering sheep without a shepherd. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now the Lord's work, he describes it to us in the New Testament, where he says to us a number of times that he is the shepherd. The Lord Jesus is the shepherd, and he's our pattern. Brother James, you'll never find a pastor or a shepherd that's a better example to you than the Lord Jesus himself. And so all of your ministry, all the future time the Lord has for you to serve him, needs to be a time of studying the person and the work and the methods and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, who's the best shepherd there ever was. Forget about Pastor Buddy. You can leave him out of the equation. We'll put the Lord Jesus in the chief place. He is the shepherd. And God's word says, as the Lord Jesus describes his own ministry, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. So the first thing that you must do is you must own the great Bible truth that Jesus is your shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. In John 10, verse 14, the Lord Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. In 1 Peter, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, he calls himself the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 4, he calls himself the chief shepherd. So he's the good shepherd, and he's the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. And we need to, all of us, not only preachers, we all of us need to say, I must be sure that the Lord is my shepherd. There may be some here this morning that have not yet claimed the Lord Jesus as your shepherd. Oh, we urge upon you the necessity of becoming part of the Lord's flock. Be one of his sheep. Own the Lord Jesus gladly as your shepherd. So we must be a found sheep. And then we must be a fed sheep. If you would feed others, you must be fed by the Lord. We cannot feed others if we're not fed by the Lord. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And so, Brother James, the most important thing you can do as a minister of Jesus Christ, as a shepherd, as a pastor, is be sure and be a fed sheep. Be a fed sheep. You cannot be a feeding shepherd if you're not a fed sheep. So vital, so very important. John chapter 10, sorry, I'm ahead of myself here. We must not only be a fed sheep, we must be a led sheep. I need to be a found sheep and a fed sheep, and I must be a led sheep. I must let the Lord guide me and lead me. I cannot lead others if I'm not a led sheep. Psalm 23 verses 2 to 6 say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's where the Lord leads me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We must be led sheep. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus describes himself in John chapter 10, and it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. You know, it really doesn't make a lot of difference who are our earthly role models as far as human beings are concerned, as long as we follow the shepherd, as long as we follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus says here that his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. May the Lord give you such keen hearing that you can always tell the difference between a stranger who would lead you astray and the shepherd of the sheep who leads us perfectly. So we must be found sheep and fed sheep and led sheep. So since God has called you to the ministry, called you to himself, called you to the ministry, and has set you apart to be a preacher of the gospel, to go afar and seek lost sheep, we at Grace Baptist Church want to help you. The Lord will help you and hold you up. He will sustain you in times of hardship, in times of loneliness, in times when the sheep you seek do not want to be found. But here at Grace Baptist Church, we want to recognize the call of God on your life, James. We have observed over the last 6 years the proofs of your faith in Christ. We believe that you've displayed biblical evidences that you and Tia are found sheep in the Lord's flock, and that you are fed sheep, and that you are led sheep. So this morning, we want to lay hands on you. I'm thankful to have Brother Bernie. Brother Bernie, if you'd come up, please. Thankful to have Brother Ian, if you'd come up, please. And let's see here. I'm trying to think. Brother Floyd, will you come up, please? And Brother Phil. Now, fellas, you know how bad my memory is. Don't you dare let me forget someone. I would be greatly remiss. Brother Floyd is the word is probably dog's body, but we're going to say manager of Jubilee Christian College. Brother Floyd, what's a good title?
Chairman of the board.
Chairman of the board, all right. Been faithful in the service of the Lord for a long time, blessing to so many people. We, Susan and I, have known Brother Floyd for at least 35 years, and he still is our friend. We're thankful. And Brother Bernie, we've known him longer. Just after Noah got off the ark was when we first met Bernie and Helen, and he was founding pastor there at Foundations Baptist Church in Mackay, where Brother Dave Onus, who wanted to be here this weekend and could not come, and they're serving the Lord there. And then Brother Ian, that was the fastest kid I ever saw when he was in school, probably still is. He's pastor at Calvary. I sure was glad I didn't get that wrong. Baptist Church in Ayer. And we're really thankful for Ian Gould, faithful servant of the Lord. And then Brother Phil Highland is pastor at Sunshine Baptist Church in Caloundra. And if you ever get to any of these places on the Lord's Day, go to church there. You'll be blessed. Brother Luke, Phil's little brother, isn't he your younger brother? He wanted to come from Tenham Sands, could not come this weekend. One of their members, one of the ladies in the church, was very ill, and I think on Friday night she went home to be with the Lord. Brother Luke needed to be there. But we're so thankful for our brothers that could come. And we're going to, in just a moment, get Brother James to come up here and kneel down, and we're going to lay hands on Brother James only as a symbol that we recognize God's call on his life to the ministry. We'd like you to pray in your heart silently for God's blessing on James and Tia and the boys, and that the Lord will have his hand on them. James tells us that the Lord willing, by the end of February, they expect to be in East Timor. We need to pray that direction, that the Lord will make it possible. God's plans are better than ours, but I'd like you to pray that direction. Would you do that? All right, put this aside, and we'll get Brother James to come up. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We'll get Brother Phil to start off, and then Ian, and we'll go around this way. All right, brothers, come up, and let's lay hands on Brother James.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful we can come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for his blood. We're thankful for the mercy that we have in Christ, the redemption that we have. Lord, we are thankful for the day. Thank you for James and Tia. Lord, we're thankful that you saved them from our darkness and your marvelous light. Lord, what a blessing to be called to be one of your children. But Lord, how we thank you that you've called James into the ministry. And Lord, as we today lay hands upon him, we pray that you'd give him the measure of grace and the power of the Holy Spirit that he needs. Lord, as he seeks to serve you and minister the word, whether it be here, foreign field, wherever it may be, in the years to come, Lord, we just pray that you would bless him, watch over him, pray you'd bless his wife, and that you'd watch over her, and strengthen her, and watch over the children, and how we pray that you would be pleased to have your hand upon the ministry that you have entrusted him with. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we do thank you for the fact that you have seen James's faithfulness and seen fit to put him into the ministry. This one who was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and one who was away from you. But Lord, we thank you that he is a found sheep.
Yes.
As Lord, I trust that each one here will be before they finish this day out. Lord, you have given this one a charge. Lord, as we lay hands upon him, we recognize that it is you who has given him the gift.
That's right.
To proclaim the truth, to proclaim the word of God, the living word which is written for us, that we might see Jesus, that others might see Jesus, that you would give him the strength, the grace, Lord, to be able to proclaim your truth in the midst of darkness and in the midst of opposition. That, Lord, in doing so, he would save both himself and those that hear.
Amen.
Lord, I ask for an outpouring of your Spirit upon this man and his family.
Yes, bless him, Lord.
Lord, each of us in the small corner of the vineyards that you've placed us in.
That's right.
Whether we be pastor, whether we be wives, whether we be who we are. Lord, that each one of us would pray for this man.
Yes.
And his family. We do commit him now to you. Lord, keep him accountable to yourself. Keep us accountable to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray urgently your blessing upon our brother and his family. Thank you that his family, his dear wife and boys, agree with God's calling. And we as a body of believers, we agree and we give thanks to you, Lord, that you look down from heaven and you choose the basest of men, ourselves included, Lord. You choose to use us. How we thank you, Lord, that you're so merciful. And we pray your blessing on James and Tia's ministry. We pray for you to open the way before them. Thank you for their faithful service, Lord, among us. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we may carry them on our hearts day by day, lifting them up, crying out for God to watch over them and care for them and use them richly. We pray, Heavenly Father, to make them a blessing where they go. Use them greatly. Pray for precious souls to be in heaven. And one day we'll rejoice together when we get there in heaven to see what you've done, because these dear folks heard the call of God and said yes. So use them, we ask, in Jesus' precious name.
Father, we're thankful this morning we can come together, and we're thankful for the 13th chapter of the book of Acts that was spoken from this morning. We're thankful for the church at Antioch and that obeyed God, where God called these men to go to the mission field, and you sent them, and then the church also, as you read in those verses, also sent those men. So appointed by God, anointed by God, sent out by God, and also from the church there in Antioch. And they gave their authority to those missionaries to go. And we're thankful for this church that's recognized this man, the calling of God upon his life. We're thankful, Lord, that he has been appointed, and now he's been anointed, Lord, to go to the mission field. And we're thankful for the local church that's practicing biblical authority to not only ordain this young man and his wife and his children to go to the mission field, but also send them, Lord, in the authority of the local church. And we pray that as he goes with his family, Lord, you would use them there. You would watch over them. You'd protect them. I pray, Lord, you'd give them fruit for their labors as you did with Paul and Silas and with Barnabas as they went to the mission field under the authority of the local church. We just pray you'd have your will and your way in his life, in his family's life, and in the lives of those that he will minister to. We commit him and his family into your care. Pray you'd watch over them in Jesus' name.
Father, in your word, you share how that the field is white, the harvest is white.
Yes.
And Father, the labors are few.
That's right.
Father, we
are
so grateful that you've called James and Tia and the family to serve you. So, Father, we pray for your anointing and your blessings to be their portion. We pray, Father, that your will be accomplished in their lives.
Yes.
And that they'll see fruit for their labor. And we commit them to you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, brother. Well, James is going to bring the message this evening. I'd like to encourage you to come. We don't know how many times we'll get to have him in the pulpit before the Lord says, come on, boy, it's time to go. But we will as many times as we can. We really thank the Lord for you.